Yes, Five fans, again, here I come in the squared circle, episode number 2 with Felipe León. Your quick 30-minute rundown of what happened this last week in boxing news, results, and upcoming fights. Let's jump right into it because there is a lot of news, even though there wasn't a lot of activity out here in the United States. Just a little bit of PBC on NBC, but everything seemed to happen overseas. So let's get to it. First off, here on our show in the Square Circle is Jabs and Hooks, which is our news section. In a piece of news that was somewhat under the boxing radar, former world champion Giovanni Segura decided not to travel to Panama this weekend, where he was scheduled to face Luis Concepcion. Looks like Giovanni Segura will be facing Roman El Chocolatito Gonzalez, the WBC flyweight champion, early next year. And because of that, he decided not to travel down to Panama to face Concepcion. Now it looks like Hernan Marquez from Hermosillo, Mexico, Hernan Tyson Marquez, is going to be facing Concepcion on December 17th, this upcoming week, as part of the WBO convention that is being held down there in Panama. This will be the third time that Marquez and Concepcion face each other. The first two times Marquez won via knockout, the first time in April of 2011 was in the 11th round, and the second time in October of the same year was in the first round. When asked, Romano Chocolatito Gonzalez said that instead of more important than facing Giovanni Segura is to go for the 115 world title. He wants to be a champ in three divisions. He's already been a champ at 108, 112, and now he wants to be at 115. Said he's willing to face the WBC super flyweight champion, who is Carlos Cuadras from Mexico, even though they are both with the same promoter taking promotions. Gonzalez said that that didn't matter, that maybe that would make it easier for them to make the fight, and that he hopes the fight's in Japan, since both have fought there previously and there's less taxes.
I'm real champion.
That's what Roman Chocolatito wants to be. He wants to be a real champion. And now it looks like Tyson Fury is taking a little bit more of the namesake of who he is named after, Tyson, Mike Tyson, because he's getting a little bit of trouble out there in England. First off, it was announced early last week that the British government is looking into quite possibly a hate crime by Tyson Fury, after in an interview with the Daily Mail, big newspaper out there in England, had Tyson Fury saying some anti-gay remarks, and they take that stuff very serious out there in England, and they were looking to maybe charge him with a hate crime. And then after that, if not the same day or the day later, the IBF announced that they were stripping Tyson Fury of the IBF title, which he won in that unanimous decision over Vladimir Klitschko. The reason being is because he is not willing to face, well, not that he's not willing to face his mandatory, who is Vyacheslav Glaskov, who is the number one mandatory for the IBF. It's not that he's not willing to face him, it's that he has that rematch clause with Vladimir Klitschko. So in the letter, the IBF announced that they were stripping Tyson Fury of the title, and they mandated the number one, this Ukrainian, Glaskov, and Charles Martin, number four rated by the IBF, to face each other early on in 2006 for that title. So what does that do? That kind of leaves, that kind of starts opening up the heavyweight division. Before, we have Vladimir Klitschko with all three titles and Deontay Wilder with that WBC title. And now we have, Tyson Fury with the two titles, the WBO and the WBA. We have Deontay Wilder with the WBC, and then we have a new champion, hopefully early next year, between Charles Martin and Vyacheslav Glaskov with the IBF, and then maybe they start facing each other, somebody unifies the title. So it's starting to open up, it's starting to, starting to do something there, the heavyweight division, which we haven't had in quite some time. Now, Canelo also was in some hot water this last week. He got sued again for $9 million in a Los Angeles court by former champ Ulises Archie Solis. I don't know if you guys remember the story back from 2011. I don't know what story you guys have heard, but the story that I heard is that these guys ran into each other in Guadalajara, where they're both from. Back in Guadalajara, Canelo Alvarez has the mother of his daughter. They're not together anymore, but you know, there's a little, you know, it's the mother of his daughter, and there were rumors that Archie Solis was kind of, you know, knocking on her door. Canelo didn't like that.
I was wondering.
Canelo didn't like that, and he actually laid hands on Archie Solis, broke his jaw. Archie was out for almost a year, if not a year. He tried to fight again. He got promptly knocked out when he was hit on the jaw. So he's been trying to sue. He sued him in Mexico. He's tried to sue him. He sued him in Los Angeles. I don't know how Los Angeles has jurisdiction over something that happened in Guadalajara. I don't know if it was a civil suit. I really didn't get into it. But there was some kind of lawsuit there. TMZ reported that they settled out of court and no amount was reported as far as how much they settled for. But it looks like that chapter of Canelo's legal battles is over. He also has another one regarding his former promoter, All-Star Boxing, out from Miami. So they've been trying to settle. Well, actually, Golden Boy's been trying to settle with All-Star Boxing. They don't want to settle. They feel they have a strong enough case. So they've gone after Canelo, and that has not been resolved yet. As of that I know. I don't know if you guys have heard anything, but it's still going on as far as I know. Also, Canelo plans to return in May of 2016. Looks like the WBC is going to allow a mandatory defense for both Canelo and Triple G. There's some talk that in May, you know, Canelo's trying to take over that May pay-per-view date now that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is out of the picture for some time. And they're talking about a rematch between Canelo and Cotto. You know, it would be somewhat of a seller. A lot of people are not convinced that Canelo won that fight so convincingly on the scorecard, so there's little rumblings there of maybe Canelo and Cotto facing each other again. But it is expected. Steve Kim started tweeting this last weekend. Steve Kim from from the Next Round and the Three Knockdown Rule. The Next Round, obviously, the part of the Leave It in the Ring network of David Duenas, the same as this show, In the Square Circle, with me, your host, Felipe León. And he said that it's expected for them to face each other in September 2016 and that the catch weight might be 157 pounds. So we'll see what happens. I think some kind of announcement is expected this weekend coming up. This week actually coming up, Mauricio Sulaiman released some kind of letter, but it didn't really say much. It was just a mumbo jumbo that they were going to meet, that the talks are ongoing, but there really wasn't any meat in the letter. So we'll see what happens. But hopefully, I mean, if it doesn't happen in May, if it happens in September, if it happens in 2016, I'm happy. I want to be there. I want to see Canelo get decapitated. So I want to be there for that fight. And also the much-expected announcement from Manny Pacquiao of who is going to be his next opponent, which everybody expects it for it to be the rubber match between him and Timothy Bradley. And it was supposed to be done, the announcement, this Friday during a Top Rank show on TV. Did not come. As far as what was released, Manny Pacquiao is not ready to announce his next opponent, which is kind of strange. I mean, if it's going to be Timothy Bradley, let it be Timothy Bradley. I mean, unless he's having second thoughts of facing him, but I don't think that he's looking forward to facing Terrence Crawford. So if it's going to be Timothy Bradley, let it be Timothy Bradley. Announce it already, and let's get the show on the road so that Manny Pacquiao can have his last fight in April, and then we can move on and to the next chapter of boxing.
The best ever.
So then we go to TKO and split decisions, which is the section of the show where we go over the fight results of this last week.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You're serious? You're serious?
Last Friday on Showtime, we saw super lightweight Regis Prograis, 16-0 with 13 knockouts, remain undefeated with the TKO over Abel Ramos, 14-1 with 2 draws, 9 knockouts. giving the latter, this Ramos, Abel Ramos, his first loss of his career. Progres stopped Ramos in the eighth from Houston, Texas. And the same night, but from San Juan, Puerto Rico, Nonito Donaire captured the vacant WBO 122-pound title in a slugfest over Mexico City's Cesar Juarez. Juarez was down in round four. The scores were 116-110 twice and 117-109. The title was vacant because that's the title the WBO decided to strip from Guillermo Rigondeaux. Now that Nonito Donaire won the title, Rigondeaux actually has called him out. Who doesn't Rigondeaux call out? But now that he knows that he's beat Donaire pretty easily, he calls him out trying to get a big fight, a big name fight, and he wants his 122-pound title back. I think this weight is a good weight for Donaire. I mean, at 126, he didn't look as good as he looked at 122. Not that he looked all that great. I mean, it was a slugfest, this fight. Donaire dominated the first half of the fight, but Juarez kind of stayed in there and then kind of made it a little bit difficult for Donaire, busted him up a little bit, but then Donaire took control again of the fight in the last couple of rounds. Donaire goes to 36 wins, 3 losses, 23 knockouts. Juarez drops to 17 wins, 3 losses, 13 knockouts, but Donaire should be making some noise a little bit in the 122 pounds. In the semi-main event, Felix Verdejo stopped Brazil's José Nilson dos Santos in the second round. Big right hand right on the button, right on the chin, dropped Dos Santos and laid him out. Verdejo goes to 19-0, 14 knockouts. Dos Santos 25-3 with 15 knockouts. This is what needed to happen. You know, Felix Verdejo did what he was supposed to do. He's coming back from a little bit of a layover because of some problems with his hand. Everybody expects a big 2016 from him, but really this fight wasn't much to talk about since he stopped Dos Santos in the second round, and a guy that wasn't supposed to go much longer than that probably. In Russia, in Moscow, former cruiserweight champion Enzo Macarinelli, 41 wins, 7 losses, 33 knockouts, scored a brutal fourth round knockout over Roy Jones Jr., 62-8, 45 knockouts. Jones was hospitalized after the fight. He was doing pretty well. He was doing pretty good before the knockout. I mean, he was moving. Enzo Macarinelli was clearly a lot bigger than him. And he was doing okay. He was moving around. He was scoring some punches. But then this Macarinelli scored this hellacious right hook, dropped Roy Jones. Roy Jones got up. Macarinelli went for the finish, laid him out. And Jones Jr. had to be taken to the hospital. And then even he's recuperated. He's out of the hospital. And even to right now, he has not announced his retirement. So he needs to start thinking about what he wants to do. And maybe he needs to hang it up and just work for HBO.
You don't ever give me a fair shake. You know that?
Saturday night in England, and afternoon in the United States, a massive fight card from the O2 Arena in London went down, where there was a ton of action. Heavyweight hopeful Anthony Joshua remained undefeated and with the perfect record of 15-0 with 15 knockouts when he stopped Dillian White, who suffered his first loss, 16-1 with 13 knockouts in the seventh. He stopped him in the seventh round. Good fight. Both of them were hurt. White hurt Joshua. Joshua hurt White both in the second round. There was good action, you know, good action from these heavyweights. Joshua, I think he's still a little bit raw. He still needs to work a little bit on his defense. Can he beat Tyson Fury right now? Who knows? That's the fight that a lot of people are calling. Maybe he needs a little bit more seasoning. And it looks like his next fight is being announced for April 9th with Derek Chisora, who actually beat some type of journeyman in the same card from the O2 Arena in London, might be the possible opponent. That's a little bit of a jump up in competition. Dillian White was pretty good. I mean, he had a win over over Anthony Joshua in the amateurs, but Joshua dominated most of the fight. Dillian did a couple things here and there, but it wasn't enough. So that is Derek Chisora is a little bit of a jump in competition for Anthony Joshua, and then after that we can see what can happen with him. In the same fight card, Ismael Barroso of Venezuela remained undefeated with a record of 19-0 and 18 knockouts and captured the interim WBA lightweight title stopping the former champ now, Kevin Mitchell, stopping him in 5 rounds. He hurt him, dropped him. Kevin Mitchell beat the count, but Barroso jumped all over him. Mitchell was hurt, and then the referee stopped the fight so that way Mitchell can fight another day. Cruiserweight and Creed co-star Tony Bellew, with 26 wins, 2 losses, 2 draws, 16 knockouts, won a 12-round unanimous decision over Matheus Mastrnak, 36-4, 26 knockouts to capture the EBU title, 115-112 twice, and 115-113 for Tony Bellew. Paulo Malignaggi appointed Antonio Moscatiello, a late sub, in the same card. Originally, he was going to fight Gianluca Branco, the EBU welterweight champion, but Branco unexpectedly and late in last week decided to withdraw from the fight because he wants to face his mandatory. So Paulo Malignaggi ended up fighting this Antonio Moscatiello. Who knows if Paulo Malignaggi is going to keep fighting? He has a good gig in Showtime. He was actually commentating on the Skybox fight. He was commentating on Sky, the UK Sky. He was commentating the Anthony Joshua fight. So let's see if he keeps fighting. He mentioned that his dream, being that he's Italian or Italian-American, that was to win the EBU title. It looks like Gianluca Branco is trying to hold on to it a little bit more. So we'll see what happens with that. And from the state, San Antonio, Texas, the PBC on NBC had actually a pretty good fight as the main event, where former lightweight champion Omar El Panterita Figueroa outpointed former lightweight champion Antonio DeMarco over 12 all-action rounds in San Antonio, 116-112, 2 ice, and 115-113 for Omar Panterita Figueroa. This fight was supposed to be at 140 pounds, but it looks like Panterita Figueroa knew that he wasn't going to make the weight, so he negotiated with the DeMarco camp, and they ended up weighing 151 Figueroa, DeMarco 149. It was a good fight. Figueroa actually jumped all over DeMarco early on. He ended up throwing over 1,100 punches in the 12 rounds of this fight. He slowed down considerably in the second half. DeMarco started laying it on thick, scoring a great right hook from his southpaw stance. And then once he started putting some distance between them, he started unleashing a straight left and kept landing on Figueroa. But Figueroa had done enough in the early rounds to maybe have the fight in the bag in the championship round. So DeMarco went out in the 11th trying to stop him. He almost did. He had him hurt. He scored some great straight left hands, and it looked like Figueroa was going to go down. But Figueroa, with that weight, he showed a great chin, and he was able to survive the onslaught. DeMarco tried to do it again in the 12th, but not as aggressively. And Figueroa, you know, pulled it off, and he ended up getting the unanimous decision. It was a good fight. A couple things, I don't know if you guys had ever noticed, but DeMarco, you know, he left his original trainer, Romulo Quirarte, the guy that made him from the beginning, and he ended up going with Freddie Roach. And then from Freddie Roach, he went with Raul El Jíbaro Pérez, who is his father-in-law. And then for this fight, he had Romulo Quirarte in the corner, and he also had the trainer from Las Vegas named James Pena. But the good thing is that he looked better than he had looked with the other guys. Romulo Quirarte knows how to get something out of DeMarco. Romulo Quirarte is a guy that took him to those titles against Jorge Linares, and he was there when he fought Edwin Valero. Obviously, he didn't win that fight, but he was able to get something out of DeMarco, and now he's back with him. But who knows if DeMarco is going to continue. He looked pretty disappointed after the announcement of the decision. You know, he mentioned that the weight was a little bit too much, that he felt that Figueroa was a little bit too heavy for him. But, you know, he made a little bit of money on the side there. I think there was a little bit of a money exchange so that he would fight at a much higher weight. So let's see if he wants to continue. I mean, one thing that he has mentioned being that he is from Tijuana and he fights out of Tijuana, and I cover the San Diego Tijuana region for FightNews.com. I mean, I followed DeMarco for quite a while, and one thing that he's always mentioned to me is that he doesn't want to be a stepping stone. He doesn't want to be an opponent, but he's right on the verge here. You know, Omar Panterita Figueroa stayed undefeated with 26 wins, 0 losses, 1 draw, 18 knockouts, and DeMarco drops to 31-6, 1 draw, 23 knockouts. So by him taking these these fights at a higher weight, and even if it's for money, I mean, he's on the verge. He's 29 years old. He could become an opponent. So hopefully, you know, let's see what happens. he was with Sanford. I don't believe he's with Sanford anymore. So there's really no promoter there that's kind of protecting him and making some fights for him to win. So he has to take these kind of fights with the PBC to keep going. But he's getting, you know, he lost against Ramses Barthelemy, and now he lost against Omar Figueroa. He had announced his retirement after the Barthelemy fight. I think he took this fight with Omar Figueroa because I think that he felt that the style of Figueroa, him coming forward, was going to work in his favor, which it did, you know. DeMarco was countering well off the ropes, even though he was staying too long at the ropes, but he was countering well there. And but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. He didn't throw enough punches. I mean, 1,100 punches Figueroa threw. He didn't land all of them, obviously, but he threw a lot of punches. And that's hard to keep up with. So DeMarco, let's see what happens for DeMarco. Let's see if I could get an interview with him and talk to him, and then I could give you guys the scoop of what's going on there. On the same card, Chris Arreola survived a third-round knockdown to win a split decision over Travis Kaufman. In the 12th round, his glove also touched the canvas, but the referee either didn't see it or didn't feel that it was a knockdown. But it was 114-113 twice for Arreola, 114-113 for Kaufman. It was a pretty good fight, good action. When you couple this fight with the Joshua Dillian White fight, I mean, we had some good heavyweight action this weekend. So, you know, maybe the heavyweight division is starting to turn around with new hope now that Klitschko is out of the picture, at least for some time, until we'll see when he does a rematch with Tyson Fury. So we saw two very good heavyweight action this weekend. So you know, Chris Arreola, can he challenge Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, or something like that? I don't think so. He didn't look that great. I mean, he did weigh in at 236 pounds. He looked okay. He did some good things. He really brought it out in the last half, like the last four rounds. I mean, Henry Ramirez, his trainer, was telling him, you need to go out there. You're fighting for your career out there. You need to go out there and put something together. And honestly, Chris Arreola did. I mean, I think, you know, what did he win? I mean, it all depends. I didn't score the fight, so I can't give you my real honest opinion of if he won the fight. But he did pull it off those last four rounds. He put it together, and he started throwing some punches. So let's see what's next for Chris Arreola. Let's see what kind of opportunity Al Heyman gives him in his next fight. Victor Ortiz made his comeback to the ring with the TKO over journeyman Gilberto Sanchez Leon in eight rounds. And in a Top Rank show from Glendale, California, in a heavyweight eliminator, Sullivan Barrera, 17-0 with 12 knockouts, stopped Carl Murat in five rounds. Carl Murat drops to 27-3 with one draw, 17 knockouts. IBF champ Sergey Kovalev was in the house. That's who Sullivan Barrera has won the opportunity to challenge for the title. And from Tucson, California, Oscar Valdez stopped Filipino Ernie Sanchez with the left hook in the third round, while Jose Benavides, who was 5.5 pounds heavy at the scales, won a unanimous decision over Sidney Siqueira, 190-2 and 99-91 for Jose Benavides in a non-title fight. And now, folks, we go to the section we call Upcoming Fights, where I'll be telling you what's coming up this week in Major Boxing.
Veremos quién es el más macho.
Like I mentioned in the opening news section, Hernán Márquez will be facing Luis Concepcion this Thursday, the 17th, at the Roberto Duran Arena in Panama City, Panama, as part of the WBO convention festivities for this year. Also making an appearance in that fight, Sugar Shane Mosley, fighting the Super World title fight. He'll be facing Patrick Lopez in a 10-rounder. On Friday, and from the Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California, and broadcast on Estrella TV, Golden Boy Promotions brings Rene Alvarado in a featherweight bout against Andrew Cancio, Jojo Diaz, and Taishan Dong in a heavyweight fight. The same night, Spike TV is at it again. Well, the PBC is at it again, this time on Spike TV. Mayweather Promotions brings Dennis Shafikov, for the vacant IBF World Lightweight title against Ramses Barthelemy. Isaiah Thomas, not the basketball player, but the cruiserweight, against Murat Gassiev. And Mickey Bay, ex-world champ, against Naeem Nelson. Also ex-world champ Ishii Smith against Tommy Rinone in a super welterweight bout. And finally, on Saturday, WBO World Champion Andy Lee will be defending his title against Billy Joel Saunders. I believe Showtime is picking up this fight. I'm not 100% sure. Check your local listings, but this is going to be a good fight. And here we're going to see, you know, who, if Andy Lee ends up winning, or even Billy Joel Saunders, who they will be facing in the middleweight division, which is getting very, very hot. And on HBO and HBO Latino, some of the fights are going to be broadcast on HBO and some of them on HBO Latino. We have heavyweight Luis Ortiz for the interim WBA World Heavyweight title against Brian Jennings. Nicholas the Axeman Walters against Jason Sosa. Joshua Claudia against Gabriel Rosado. Yorkis Gamboa against Highland Williams Jr. That's going to be on HBO Latino. I believe Yuneski Gonzalez, light heavyweight, against Vyacheslav Shabransky. That's also going to be on HBO Latino. So a pretty good card if you get to watch both broadcasts on HBO and HBO Latino. That's from the Turning Stone Resort and Casino in Verona, New York, and broadcast on HBO. It's actually a co-promotion between Golden Boy Promotions and Top Rank. And with that, my friends, we come to the conclusion of this, your second episode of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. Hopefully, you got all your information for this week. If you have the chance, if you're of the Spanish persuasion, don't forget to check me out with my partner, Renzo Novara, on BoxeoTijuana.com/TV on Tuesday at 8 p.m. or on YouTube. You could look for the Boxeo Tijuana channel and subscribe, where we go live in a live YouTube show. And we go in depth and give you more news in Spanish. Other than that, I want to thank you for listening here on the Leave It in the Ring network of David Dueñas. And until next time, have a great week. Won't you follow me into the jungle?